app, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state, and in your own backyard. This is a Civic Media Network News Update.
It's 8 o'clock. Good morning. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. Quick Trip now confirms its system outage was caused by a cyber attack. The outage affected everything from the convenience store's app to its website, payroll systems, and its customer rewards program. A company spokesman says there's no indication the hackers got a hold of customers' credit card information. The customer rewards system is back online, but the Quick Trip app and the website are still down. Governor Evers is replacing the Wisconsin Elections Commissioner, who was fired by the state Senate this week. Nate Wegehout has more.
Senate Republicans fired Commissioner Joe Czarnecki on Tuesday. Senator Mark Spreitzer told the Devil's Advocates radio show last night that Evers moved to replace him immediately. If he didn't, he said Republicans would have had the chance to fire Megan Wolf.
It takes 4 votes on WEC to appoint an administrator, but it actually just takes a majority of those present and voting to remove an administrator. So if we didn't replace Joe Czarnecki immediately, Republicans could call a meeting, and by a 3-2 vote, they could actually fire Megan Wolf.
Spreitzer did not name the new appointee other than that they are a former Eau Claire election clerk. Nate Wegehout, Civic Media News.
Evers has also said he'll waste no time replacing the Natural Resources Board members the Senate fired. The board takes an important vote on the state's wolf management policy next week. A lawsuit against Assembly Speaker Robin Voss and 3 former Wisconsin Supreme Court justices will continue. A Dane County judge decided not to dismiss the case yesterday. A liberal law group says Voss, as well as David Prosser, John Wilcox, and Patience Rogensack, broke Wisconsin's open meetings laws. Voss asked the former justices to advise him as he considers whether or not to impeach Justice Janet Protasiewicz. State and local governments would be banned from shutting down religious gatherings during public emergencies under an assembly bill that got a hearing yesterday. The bill's author is Republican Representative Ty Bodden.
People should have the freedom to practice wherever, however they want, under our Constitution, and that right should not be violated under any circumstances.
The bill stems from opposition to public health orders during the COVID-19 pandemic. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Health and life aren't the only things patients have to worry about. Tracy Smith of the American Cancer Society says the financial impact can be devastating.
Depending on the stage of that diagnosis, cancer can start from $250,000 all the way up to millions of dollars.
Advocates say there are resources available to help. The Urban Institute says about 1 in every 5 American families has medical debt in collections. That's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell, Civic Media News.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. Western Wisconsin will receive over $3 million from the United States Department of Justice to improve public safety and strengthen crime prevention efforts. Senator Tammy Baldwin supported the bill that provided the federal funding, saying, quote, "You can provide resources both when somebody is incarcerated and when they re-enter the community to make it less likely that they'll be re-offending." Eau Claire and Barron County each received a significant portion of the funding. Wisconsin's job market continues to grow, hitting a record high for jobs for the 3rd month in a row in September. According to the State Department of Workforce Development, Wisconsin added roughly 8,300 jobs from August to September. From September 2022 to last month, the state added about 34,500 jobs. The Department of Workforce Development also noted the unemployment rate remained at 3.1%, slightly lower than the nationwide unemployment rate of 3.8%. For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
The Bucks wrap up the preseason tonight. Good morning, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. The Bucks host the Memphis Grizzlies tonight at Fiserv Forum. Tip-off time, 7 o'clock. Chris Middleton coming off that knee surgery in May, expected to see his first action tonight. The Bucks making roster moves, releasing Drew Timmy and signing Glenn Robinson III. The son of the big dog, Glenn Robinson, the number one overall pick from Milwaukee back in 1994. And then there's the Terry Stotts story, a former Milwaukee Bucks head coach who rejoined the team this spring as an assistant, resigning yesterday. Bucks head coach Adrian Griffin.
You know, it was Terry's decision, and I respected that. We did have a great conversation. I can't disclose, you know, what we spoke about out of respect for him, but We're still excited about the season.
Stotts was the Trailblazers head coach while Damian Lillard was there.
Everybody was kind of surprised by it. You know, it kind of came out of nowhere. But for me, knowing Terry as long as I've known him, you know, playing for him for 9 years, and to see him go is unfortunate. You know, it's sad to see him go, but everything is still moving forward.
Baseball, the Diamondbacks beating the Phillies 2-1 in Arizona. Philly leads the series 2-1. The Astros over the Rangers 10-3 to tie that series at 2 games apiece. In college women's volleyball, Wisconsin ranked number 1 with an important match in Nebraska tomorrow night against the number 2 ranked Cornhuskers. Both teams undefeated 18-0. The match begins tomorrow night at 7 o'clock and good seats in Lincoln going as high as $400 a ticket. College football, the Badgers at Illinois tomorrow afternoon. The kickoff in Champaign at 2:30. Wisconsin with a new quarterback, Braden Locke, in his first start. Head coach Luke Fickell says he seems to have the support of his teammates.
Guys rallying around him, guys understanding who he is, guys having confidence and belief in him. We got a small glimpse of what he has been able to do just this past week in a very tough situation. But I think this will be a different thing for him walking in the door knowing what he's got to be able to do.
With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Good morning, and welcome into the Stu Daniels Show. On this Friday morning, it is the 20th day of October. I'm your host, Stu Daniels. It's 7.5 minutes after 8 o'clock now on this Friday morning, and we have a lot to talk about today. First of all, I want to get to the weather forecast for today. In La Crosse, sunshine with a high around 62 degrees. In Eau Claire, mostly sunny, high around 59. Richland Center today, mostly sunny, high around 62 degrees. Actually, in Richland Center, they're saying partly sunny this morning and then lots of sunshine this afternoon. In Amory today, mostly sunny, high around 61 degrees. And in Hayward, partly sunny with a slight chance of rain and a high around 57. Hey, so in sports, we got a big game on Sunday. The 2-3 Packers go to Denver to play the Broncos on Sunday afternoon. Kickoff time set for 3:25. I believe the Broncos now are like, 1-3 or 1-4? They've only won one game so far this season. And in the news, there's, man, as you can... As you know, there is a lot going on in the news right now. Did you get to see the president's speech last night? President Biden last night addressed the nation in a rare Oval Office speech. He told Americans that the United States must support Israel and Ukraine. Also, Congressman Jim Jordan is scheduled to hold a press conference this morning after failing to become Speaker of the House in 2 rounds of voting. Also, the big news in Wisconsin today, the old-fashioned may become Wisconsin's official cocktail. Something good to talk about on a Friday, right? Hey, the first thing I want to get to is that speech last night. Did you get to see any of the president's speech last night? Many, including some Republicans, are calling it what may be President Biden's best speech yet.
And I can hear some conservatives yelling at the radio saying, "Oh, that's not saying very much." But I think that most people who saw the speech last night were pretty impressed. The president is very focused right now, and he's trying to get everybody else on board, too, trying to explain why it's so important to not only support Israel after they were attacked, but also to continue to support Ukraine, and why supporting Ukraine now could help us later on and keep us out of harm's way, at least to some degree. I have a story here from the Washington Post. This is kind of an analysis, or at least a story about the speech last night. Let me give you some of this. The headline in the Washington Post says, "Biden urges help for Israel and Ukraine in high stakes Oval Office speech." The president links the two conflicts as he makes a sweeping argument for America's global role. And this piece was posted last night, late last night. It says, "President Biden delivered an impassioned Oval Office speech Thursday, urging Americans to stand by Israel and Ukraine as they face ruthless but very different adversaries, asserting that the world is at, quote, an inflection point in history," end quote, "and making the case for billions in aid to both countries at a time when such assistance is under attack from a variety of quarters." And here's a quote from the president's speech last night. He said, "Hamas and Putin represent different threats, but they share this in common. They both want to completely annihilate a neighboring democracy." He also said, "American leadership is what holds the world together. American values are what make us a partner that other nations want to work with. To put all that at risk, if we walk away from Ukraine, if we turn our backs on Israel, it's just not worth it," end quote. Biden said he planned to send a request to Congress on Friday, today, for aid to Israel and Ukraine. White House officials have been considering a package that could cost as much as $100 billion, although that figure remains in flux, according to people briefed on the matter. Thursday's address marked a striking effort by Biden to link two global crises that have consumed much of his presidency. And he made a broad moral and practical argument about America's critical role in the world. Quote, "History has taught us that when terrorists don't pay a price for their terror, when dictators don't pay a price for their aggression, they cause more chaos and death and more destruction. And the cost and the threats to America and the world keep rising," end quote. The speech culminated an extraordinary week for President Biden, who set aside his schedule for a whirlwind trip into a war zone to appear alongside Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu. The trip is likely to stand out as a signature moment of his presidency, though the outcome is far from certain as the Middle East remains engulfed in violent turmoil. The immediate political question for Biden after Thursday's address, however, is whether he can successfully link a terrorist assault in the Middle East with a slogging ground war in Eastern Europe, keeping up public support for both efforts. Republicans have grown increasingly wary of sending more aid to Ukraine, even while they enthusiastically back assistance for Israel. The president said sending aid to Israel and Ukraine is a, quote, "smart investment that's going to pay dividends for American security for generations," end quote. Biden argued that helping both countries win their respective wars would make the United States safer without putting American troops in harm's way, while emphasizing the steadfast U.S. support of Israel. Biden reiterated his warning against being driven by fury after the September 11th terrorist attacks on the United States. He said, quote, "We made mistakes, so I caution the government of Israel not to be blinded by rage. And here in America, let us not forget who we are," end quote. Biden also stressed the humanity of the Palestinian people and again distinguished them from Hamas. He said the United States needed to provide humanitarian assistance in Gaza, where Israel's aerial counterattack and siege of the densely populated enclave have led to rapidly deteriorating conditions and a humanitarian crisis. United Nations Secretary General Antonio Guterres on Thursday urged rapid, unimpeded access for humanitarian aid to the Palestinian enclave, citing an ever-mounting toll on civilians who have lacked water, food, fuel, and electricity for more than a week. Hospitals in Gaza are being overrun with casualties from Israeli airstrikes, with patients sleeping on floors, and some facilities turning off lights to save energy, according to Palestinian health authorities. During Biden's lightning trip to Tel Aviv on Wednesday, he announced a deal with Israeli officials to allow humanitarian aid to reach the more than 2 million Gazans, though parts of that deal remained uncertain on Thursday. And here's another quote from the speech last night. The president said, "We can't ignore the humanity of innocent Palestinians who only want to live in peace and have an opportunity. The people of Gaza urgently need food, water, and medicine. We're going to provide an opening for sustained delivery of life-saving humanitarian assistance for Palestinians." The president warned against anti-Semitism and Islamophobia, citing the death of a 6-year-old Palestinian-American boy in Chicago this week who was stabbed to death by his landlord in an incident being investigated as a hate crime. In recent days, both Jewish and Muslim groups in the United States have reported an increase in attacks. The president said, "We must, without equivocation, denounce anti-Semitism. We must also, without equivocation, denounce Islamophobia." In the hours before the speech on Thursday, Biden called Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky to reassure him that Kyiv would continue to receive America's backing. The portion of the aid package going to Israel would be aimed at strengthening the country's Iron Dome air defense system, Biden said. The United States has already positioned 2 aircraft carriers and their escort ships near Israel and sent thousands of soldiers and Marines to staff them, driven by concern that the conflict could flare into a broader regional war. So that's the speech, or that's a report on the speech from last night. I hope you got to see it. I'm sure you can find it on the internet. Got to take a break right now. It's 18 and a half minutes after 8 o'clock. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
She's a good girl, loves her mom, loves Jesus.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at Interscholastic Athletic Events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
My name is Teresa Barber. I was in the United States Navy, and I served overseas in the Middle East and Africa. Early on in my career, I had a commander that taught our suicide prevention training, and the very next day, he took his own life. 90% of suicide attempts involving a gun are fatal. My way of continuing my service is to help protect my community by being a responsible gun owner and by storing firearms safely. Store all your guns securely. Help stop suicide.
Brought to you by End Family Fire and the Ad Council.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly sunny today with highs in the upper 50s. For tonight, slight chance of rain, lows around 45. For Saturday, partly sunny and breezy with a high near 56 and northwest winds 20 to 25 miles per hour. For Sunday, mostly sunny and a high near 54. Currently 42 degrees.
Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. 23 minutes now, almost 24 minutes after 8 o'clock. And we've got 39 degrees in La Crosse right now, 41 degrees in Richland Center. So have you heard the latest about what's going on in the House of Representatives with the Speaker of the House? Well, it doesn't matter when you heard the latest, because chances are just a few minutes after that, things changed. Things have been changing quite rapidly for the past 24 hours or so. Now, Jim Jordan, congressman from Ohio, who failed to win the speakership in two previous votes, just held a press conference like a few minutes ago. Now he's saying he's going to press ahead with the speaker vote despite stubborn opposition. Okay, that's the headline from the New York Times posted just a few minutes ago. Jordan presses ahead with speaker vote despite stubborn opposition. And the subheadline says the hardline conservative from Ohio is likely to be defeated when the House holds another speaker vote on Friday. It's the third one this week. This piece starts out by saying that Representative Jim Jordan of Ohio made it clear on Friday morning that he was not giving up in his faltering campaign to be House Speaker just ahead of a 10 a.m. vote in which he was expected to fail for a third time. The 10 a.m. vote happening just a little over a half hour from now. At a brief news conference, Jordan emphasized the need for the House to elect a new leader so the chamber could resume its business, including providing assistance to Israel as it responds to the attacks by Hamas. Here's his quote: "We need to get to work for the American people. We need to get a speaker as soon as possible," end quote. The House of Representatives has been in a state of chaos for 18 days. After hard-right rebels ousted Speaker Kevin McCarthy, the Republican conference's initial nominee to succeed him, Representative Steve Scalise of Louisiana failed to muster enough support to move forward. So Jordan, Jim Jordan from Ohio, then received his party's nomination to be Speaker, but he failed to win the post in votes by the full House on Tuesday and Wednesday. A favorite of former President Donald Trump, Jordan has seen his bid for Speaker blocked by a group of mainstream Republicans harboring a litany of complaints against him, not the least of which that he was part of the insurrection on January 6, 2021. Getting back to the story in the Times, it says, "In a pressure campaign Mr. Jordan's allies have waged against them has produced an intense backlash. Jordan met yesterday, with some of the 22 holdouts against him, but they remained dug in and encouraged him to drop out of contention. Allies of Jordan have urged him to force votes on his nomination throughout the weekend, even though opposition against him was expected to grow. The vote plan for Friday morning will cap a tumultuous 24 hours for House Republicans, who spent Thursday fighting among themselves in closed-door meetings, trading blame and insults, and casting about for a way forward as they failed again to coalesce around a speaker candidate. By Thursday evening, Jordan appeared no closer to winning the post." It's 8:28 right now. Got to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
CBS News Brief. Humanitarian aid could begin flowing into Gaza today, where food, water, and fuel is running out for tens of thousands of Palestinians. UN Secretary General Antonio Guterres visited the Egypt Rafah crossing.
"We absolutely need to have these trucks moving as quickly as possible and as many as necessary."
Israel bombarded the Gaza Strip today, hitting areas where Palestinians had been told to seek safety. Republican Jim Jordan's just held a news conference to say nope, he's not giving up his uphill battle to become the new House Speaker.
"The quickest way to get all this working
is to get a speaker elected. That's what I hope we can do today.
American soldier Travis King's been charged months after he bolted across the border into North Korea. CBS's Jennifer Kuiper.
Documents obtained by CBS News show they include desertion, assaulting other soldiers and officers, and soliciting and possessing child pornography.
CBS News Brief. I'm Deborah Rodriguez.
For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly. A Wisconsin family will set out on a massive undertaking this weekend, attempting to break the world record for the largest grilled cheese sandwich ever made. According to a Milwaukee Journal Sentinel report, Dominic Pallera and his two nephews will travel to Milwaukee tomorrow and attempt to build a sandwich bigger than 5 feet by 10 feet and half an inch by 2.5 inches. Locals can visit the Tripoli Shrine Center from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. tomorrow to watch the final stages of cooking the giant sandwich and maybe even get to take a slice for themselves. Wisconsin Attorney General Josh Call has announced the Wisconsin Anti-Human Trafficking Task Force has received a $2 million grant, which will keep it open for another 3 years. In a press release, Attorney General Call said, quote, "Building effective partnerships between law enforcement and victim service providers strengthens our ability to fight human trafficking. We look forward to continuing the important work of this task force for an additional 3 years." For Civic Media News, I'm James Kelly.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
We're a team that plays together. Listen, the winning will take care of itself. We just have to get everyone involved.
In interscholastic sports, we celebrate what makes every one of us unique. And in the pursuit of a common goal, everyone in the huddle, in the bleachers, and in the community comes together. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
I think I must be out of touch, but I'm okay.
Find Me Left of Center. That's music from Suzanne Vega on this Friday morning. 8:35 right now. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. We've got 43 degrees in Eau Claire. Amory has 38 degrees. And it seems like we've been trying to drink from a fire hose for the last 24 hours. News coming out so fast. I've been standing by my teletype machine all through the night. Oh, I'm sure there are people listening right now who don't even know what a teletype machine is. If you're too young to know, it's the way we used to get news back in the day, or at least the way news departments got their news before the internet. The next story I want to get to is this big story that broke last night about another one of the co-defendants in the Trump Atlanta election case, flipping and now pleading guilty, saying she'll spill the beans. So we're going to get a lot more information from Sidney Powell. You remember her? You know who she is? The attorney for Donald Trump that went around the nation with Rudy Giuliani complaining about voting machines and all kinds of crazy conspiracies. Crazy is an important word when describing Sidney Powell. It keeps coming up over and over again. And I'll give you a story here from Rolling Stone. They've got an exclusive. It says, headline says, Team Trump never dreamed Sidney Powell would flip on them. She was the ultimate MAGA conspiracy theorist. Then she got charged with being part of a criminal conspiracy, and her tune started to change. This piece was just posted last night, shortly after the news broke. It says, Sidney Powell was the wildest of MAGA diehards, someone who swore long past the bitter end that Donald Trump won by a landslide in 2020 and insinuated that a long-dead Venezuelan dictator helped hatch a plot that flipped votes away from her guy. That's why the former president and much of his inner circle didn't think the conspiracy-addled lawyer would ever cooperate with prosecutors seeking to convict the ex-president. And here's a quote. Crazy as she was, she really believed what she was pushing. That's a quote from a lawyer close to the former president. Her extreme convictions apparently weren't enough to stop her from working with prosecutors seeking to imprison the former president. Powell pleaded guilty in Fulton County on Thursday, yesterday, and agreed to cooperate in the case against Donald Trump. Here's a quote. It says, the Fulton County District Attorney, Fani Willis, and her team managed to break the woman who was never supposed to be breakable, says one of the sources with knowledge of the matter who has known both Trump and Powell for years. For months, Trump and his advisors have discussed which co-defendants in the Fulton County case and alleged co-conspirators in the Washington, D.C. special counsel investigation were most likely to cooperate with prosecutors and turn against him. Trump, according to two sources familiar with the matter, has been intensely curious about which of his former allies might turn on him as the cases progress. Trump's attorneys have also tried to game out which of those potential cooperators may pose the greatest risk to his defense. So far, the Trump legal team has been keeping a close eye on the case of Kenneth Chesebro, an architect of Trump's fake electors plot who was due to stand trial alongside Powell in Fulton County. Before her plea agreement, some of Trump's legal and political counselors had been working to cast Powell as a fall guy in the election-related cases against him and hope to shovel the criminal exposure and blame for the failed attempt to overturn the election onto her and others. in the hopes of shielding former President Trump. After all, this was the woman who pushed the idea that George Soros, or was it the CIA, or perhaps Venezuelan strongman Hugo Chavez, was somehow involved in the rigging of the election against Trump. And she was one of the trio of advisors who pushed the then president to consider imposing martial law rather than quit the White House, right? After the election, and she was saying to the president to impose martial law rather than leaving the White House. And I want to just go back over one important thing here. Don't want this to get lost. It appears as though, according to the story from Rolling Stone, that they wanted to make her the scapegoat, the fall guy. They wanted to say it was all her idea and put her away in jail so that Trump could, slip away. I'm going to go back over the beginning of this paragraph. It says, before her plea agreement, some of Trump's legal and political counselors had been working to cast Sidney Powell as the fall guy in the election-related cases against him and hoped to shovel the criminal exposure and blame for the failed attempt to overturn the election onto her and others in the hopes of shielding former President Trump. Now, moving on in this story, the next thing here is a quote from Steve Sado, who is Trump's lead attorney in Georgia, assuming truthful testimony in the Fulton County case, it will be favorable to my overall defense strategy. That's according to Steve Sado, Trump's lead attorney in Georgia. That's what he told The Messenger on Thursday, attempting to cast Powell's plea deal in a positive light for the ex-president. The attorney for Trump saying he thinks it will be favorable to his overall defense strategy. But few, if any, of Trump's aides and lawyers had predicted that Powell would be the one to cut any deal this soon. The news of Powell's plea agreement Thursday morning stunned a number of Trump's top advisors and attorneys, all of whom thought Powell, the truest of all Trump-backing, election-denying true believers, was among the least likely to take a plea deal ahead of trial. The people familiar with the situation tell Rolling Stone. Some had even told Trump in recent months that they thought Sidney Powell would be, in parentheses, foolishly, in their opinion, fighting the so-called deep state in court till the bitter end. She even pushed the idea that Donald Trump could simply be reinstated in the middle of President Joe Biden's term. In the sprawling RICO prosecution of Trump and others, Sidney Powell was charged with, among other counts, conspiracy to commit election fraud, conspiracy to defraud the state, and conspiracy to commit computer theft. In parentheses, it says, Powell was implicated in a bizarre plot to access Coffee County voting data, according to prosecutors, to aid their crusade to keep Donald Trump in power after his 2020 election loss. Powell has now agreed to plead guilty to 6 counts of conspiracy to commit intentional interference with the performance of election duties. As part of her agreement with Fulton County prosecutors, Powell agreed to serve 6 years on probation, pay a $6,000 fine, and write a letter of apology to Georgia residents. Did you get that? 6 years on probation. And of course, all of that could change if she doesn't live up to her part of the agreement. Powell's plea agreement raises the possibility that she could testify against the former president, although the scope of her cooperation in the case remains unclear. 2 other sources with knowledge of Powell's recent moves say that one of the biggest factors in Powell's decision was simple. The attorney hasn't lost faith in her conspiracy theories or the anti-democratic lies about the 2020 election being stolen from Trump, the sources say. Rather, the sources say she has privately conveyed that she's merely beaten down and tired from the legal odyssey her efforts to overturn the election has wrought. After nearly 3 years of being at the center of lawsuits and various investigations stemming from the January 6th Capitol riot, according to those with knowledge of her situation, Powell is looking to end her various legal fights. The fact that Trump and most of the Republican elite have essentially abandoned her has also likely sapped Powell's resolve. Quote, one thing to note is just how favorable this plea deal is for her. She's been permitted to plead guilty to misdemeanors. To get this good of a deal, she really has to know something, said Amy Lee Copeland, a former federal prosecutor in Savannah, Georgia. She said that to the Daily Beast. While the deal Fulton County offers Powell relief from prosecutors in Georgia, the MAGA attorney still faces a number of legal headaches. Attorneys for Dominion Voting Systems sued Powell for $1 billion shortly after the election. That suit, which alleges she defamed the company and with bizarre and bogus accusations that its products stole the election from Trump, remains ongoing. 8:47, got to take a break. Stick around. You're tuned in to the Stu Daniels Show.
Bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events. Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons, like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
Why are interscholastic sports called the last classroom of the day? Because they teach students important life lessons like teamwork, accountability, and perseverance. School sports are so much more than a game. They're about developing the whole person. That's why they're an essential part of every student's education.
Encourage your student to participate in the last classroom of the day. Interscholastic sports in Wisconsin. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
With your forecast, I'm Corey Hartman. Partly sunny today with highs in the upper 50s. For tonight, slight chance of rain, lows around 45. For Saturday, partly sunny and breezy with a high near 56 and northwest winds 20 to 25 miles per hour. For Sunday, mostly sunny and a high near 54. Currently 42 degrees.
Sounds like it. Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers going back to the very first album, 1976. And that was some cutting-edge stuff coming out at that time. Sounded different than everything else on the radio back in those days. And Tom Petty, by the way, born on this date, October 20th, 1950. Happy birthday to the late, great Tom Petty. Hey, 43 degrees in La Crosse right now, 40 degrees in Hayward, 853. Welcome back to the Stu Daniels Show. And the next thing I want to get to is that hearing that went down yesterday at the Capitol in Madison. This is really important. You probably heard about the whole redistricting issue, right? Now that Wisconsin has a Supreme Court that is more likely to adjust or change our gerrymandered maps, the Republicans have put forward a new bill trying to, avert a Supreme Court decision that may make things even worse for them. The whole issue is the fact that Wisconsin has one of the most, if not the most, gerrymandered maps in the United States. In other words, it doesn't matter how many votes Democrats get, the Republicans, always remain in charge. And it could be that way forever if the Republicans had their way. But this hearing went down yesterday in Madison. And most people, most Democrats and members of the public criticized this plan by Republicans to put forth their new redistricting plan. Now that they're concerned about the old plan going before the Supreme Court, I found a story here from the Wisconsin Examiner by Baylor Spears, posted just this morning, to give us some idea of what went down in Madison yesterday. The headline says Democrats and members of the public criticize Republicans' Iowa-style redistricting plan. First public hearing on bill to change how voting maps are drawn. And it says here, Democratic lawmakers and members of the public said Republicans' current proposal to implement an Iowa-style legislative redistricting process in Wisconsin falls short of what is needed. During the first official hearing on the bill, Thursday, yesterday, the hearing by the Senate Shared Revenue Elections and Consumer Protection Committee is the first on AB 415, which would put the responsibility for drawing new maps in the hands of the nonpartisan Legislative Reference Bureau, the LRB. And would also establish a redistricting advisory commission to assist with the process. Assembly Republicans, joined by Democratic Representative Lakeisha Myers of Milwaukee, already passed the bill with some amendments last month during a late-night vote just 2 days after Republicans announced the plan, without holding a public hearing. Democrats and some Republicans have proposed bills to reform Wisconsin's redistricting process since 2010. However, Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, Republican from Rochester, and the majority of Republicans have refused to support such proposals or to allow a public hearing until recently. The sudden position change came after the new liberal majority on the Wisconsin Supreme Court agreed to hear a case challenging the current legislative maps. And here's a quote from a Republican. This is Senator Dan Knodel of Germantown. He said, "This bill coming forward is really an attempt that we can perhaps avoid ending up in litigation and keep it truly a legislative process with a nonpartisan commission. Our state is continually bogged down in litigation with uncertainty regarding legislative redistricting in the courts. This bill eliminates those burdensome costs and dilatory actions." That's the Republicans talking there. The Republican authors of the bill insisted on Thursday that this will be lawmakers' only chance to change the state's redistricting process. Knodel said he was aware of how political winds could change and that he thought Democrats and Republicans should come together to deal with the divisive issue and show Wisconsinites that they can govern, together. So I don't know what's going to happen with that bill, if there's a chance it can even pass. What the heck? The issue is already before the Supreme Court, and they agreed to look at it. 8:58 right now. Got to take a break for the top of the hour news. Stick around. You're tuned in to your local Civic Media radio station.
Have you noticed bad behavior has become normalized at interscholastic athletic events? Some fans seem angry. They lack civility toward one another. Some even get aggressive and unruly. Time out! What is going on? This has to stop. Let's not forget, school sports aren't just about winning. And they're definitely not an excuse to take your frustrations out on the official or the opponent. They're about teaching lessons, like perseverance, respect, and empathy, so students can learn and grow as people, not just as players. We all have a role to play in setting a good example for our students and teaching them these important values. So fans, it's time to step up your game and behave positively at interscholastic athletic events in Wisconsin.
This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to 93.5 The Tap, WCFW HD2 Chippewa Falls, W228EP Eau Claire, and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.